Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
We have been speaking for the last few weeks about powering your life by the grace of God. And again, amongst the points we have made, very importantly, is to know what grace is. Grace is when the power of God is working to produce great results in your life. That is, all you need to do is pull a switch, and then you release a flow of electricity that does a great work for you. Then we say grace is in your life. So a man who does little but achieves much is a man working by grace, the grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. That was after he said he was the least of the apostles, the last born of the apostles, the one that Jesus appeared to last. He said, yet I did more than every other apostle. Why? Because there was a grace working in my life. That whatever it is that all of you read about Paul today, Paul said, it was not my labor, it was the grace of God. All I needed to do was to plant a little while somebody else watered, and God gave the great increase. I'm saying that amongst the people listening to me tonight, there are people that God wants to start great multinational companies through. And then at the end of their days, they will look back and look over the billions and billions of US dollars of turnover and the hundreds of billions of worth of that company. And yet they came out of an unlikely country like Nigeria. And they will say with Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. His power working towards me did not prove vain, in that I labored more than everybody else that was in this field. But it wasn't I, it was the grace of God working with me. Somebody's building a great ministry. Like one of my best examples, Derek Prince. Derek Prince was preaching to half of the globe on a daily basis for years before he died. Yet he said he never did anything out of ordinary. He would get to places and find out that the people there had gathered money themselves and had placed his broadcast on radio and informed him afterwards. That is, I am what I am by the grace of God. His power working towards me did not prove vain, in that I preached more than them all, but it was not I. It was the grace of God working with me. Somebody listening to me tonight, God is going to do something great in his life. And God is saying, it is not you that will do it. Just follow the simple instructions that you are getting in life. Just obey the principles of righteousness and dedication to the will of God for your life, and you will discover that great things will come forth. God is trying to show forth your life as an excellent example. He said, you are a holy nation, a peculiar people. He said, you have been called that God might show forth his excellencies through you. That is, God wants people to look and say, you mean this is Nigeria? You mean this happened out of Nigeria? And they will say, come and see. Like once somebody told him, we have found the Messiah. And they asked, he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And they said, come and see. And listen to me, they came and they saw. They saw the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I also send you. That these people will also look at what will come out of your life. And they will say, can anything good come out of this part of this country? And they will say, come and see. And they will come and look at you. And that is when you will begin to give interviews. At that time, don't let it get into your head. Don't ever forget that there is a grace. And that grace is what worked in your life to bring you to that level. Once Harrison Ford, the famous American actor, was asked a question about his success in the film industry. Now, this was a man who tried to act and succeed, and he failed so well that what he was doing for a living was to build the set as a carpenter in the same studio where he wanted to work before. They will call him and he will make sets for them, helping them do carpentry work. And then one day somebody called him, offered him a role. He did well. By that time, he was in his 40s. That is, most actors will have been made by the time they are in their 20s. This guy was made when he was in his 40s. So when they asked him, they said, how did you succeed? He now said, and I'm quoting him, he said, no one can rightfully claim credit for anything. He said, there is luck and there is grace. Now, if you remember, I said luck is a colloquial expression for the manifestation of God's blessings in your life. There was something this man of Virgin Industries, Richard Branson, said. One day they asked him about how he did so well in business and how he was able to build the Virgin Airlines. And he said that he has worked very hard, he has labored. And he said, I have had more than my fair share of luck. That is, in life, even men who have done well, they have understood that there is a force that is greater than a man's labor. They call it luck. Some call it grace, some call it blessing. But the Bible tells us that a man that is blessed of God, there is a power that works towards him because of his faith. And that is what is called grace. And when that is working in somebody's life, people will come and say, they will come and look and say, tell us the secret of your success. Listen to me, don't ever forget. Don't do like Nebuchadnezzar, who looked and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I have built with the strength of my might for the glory of my majesty? And that very day, God took him off that throne to show him that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men. What we are saying in this series of teachings is that what will you do in life to make the Almighty rule with favor in your affairs? The reason why my name is Daniel is because I read in the Bible, because one of my names is Daniel. I read in the Bible that the Bible says that God lifts up one and brings out another. And he said, that's in Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. He said that what that means is that God is judge. And I looked at the meaning of the word Daniel in the Bible. And literally, it says, God, my judge. That is, it is God that will lift me up. It is God that will bring me to the position of success and prominence, if necessary, in life. It is God that will set me up for good. That's why I said my name is Daniel. That's why I don't ever agree with anybody that says that nation is not good, situation is bad, people of your qualification are better paid when they get to the United States, people of your qualification earn much more money if they were to work in a place like Australia. And they say, for that reason, why can't you see that you are disadvantaged working in this kind of environment? I said, it is because you are not of faith. By faith, I understand that there are certain forces that I cannot see. There are things that I am working in life that are beyond my own ability. They are beyond the things that people can see, physically speaking. And those things are working towards me with favor. And they are called the grace of God. So that where men thought there would be failure, I am going to experience success. That is how God gets glory out of your life. When people say you will fail, and the grace of God works towards you, and you succeed, then certainly God will look and say, that was me. And then God will now be described by your name. Do you get my point? That is when they want to say, what God are you talking about? He said, remember that guy? Yes. You know, we all concluded that I would be a failure. He said, yes. He said, look at him now. He has become a success. He said, that is that God that did that thing for him is the one I'm talking about. You are getting the concept of what I'm trying to say. So please, I hope we have understood this as I've been saying it. That is a passion of my heart. I want you to know that, look, physical things cannot decide that you are a failure. No, there is a spiritual aspect to these things, and that's what I want us to focus our minds on. Because like we're going to see today, if we get the spiritual aspects correctly, then the natural and physical ones will most certainly begin to cooperate with those things that are spiritual. That's why we must lay our emphasis on the area that is spiritual. I hope you're getting the point I'm making here. Now, so, like we have been seeing in this matter of grace, we have seen that each one of us has a gift. There is something special that God wants to do in life, and he has placed the ability to do it inside you. And he says, make sure you are found faithful in the time of little, and then I will increase you into the time of much. And we said after that, that there are four basic ingredients that we have to use to prepare our lives for the grace of God. Having discovered our gifting, having realized that we need the grace of God. Number one is that issue of prayer. I have talked about that extensively. I do not have time to go over it again. Just to say in passing, that prayer is a sign that you realize that there is something beyond the physical, and you need God to step into your affairs. And that God, like we said last week, is not the defender of the universe. His name is not Voltron. He doesn't just step in anytime there is trouble. You have to tell him ahead of time. You have to have an agreement with him. You have to ask him, God, step in when there is trouble in my life, and then he will step in. You tell him, God, give me success when I need it, and then he will give it to you. He doesn't just throw it randomly. And we said, after the matter of prayer, the next thing is prophecy. And that's what I'm going to say, talk about briefly today. And then after prophecy, you have a seed, and then you have rest. Those other two things we will come to in later times. But today I want to talk about the issue of prophecy. And to explain that, I would just like us to quickly look at two portions of the scriptures. The first one is from Numbers chapter 6. If you read from verse 22, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. He says, so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. Now, please, I want you to notice something here. He said in verse 23, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, that is, it's words that are spoken into the lives of those people that will bring forth God's blessings upon them. Today, this matter of prophecy is what I want to talk about briefly. Because to prophesy means to issue forth words. To prophesy does not mean to predict the future. You might predict the future in prophesying, but prophesying actually means to issue forth constructive words. That is, words that take charge, words that dominate. That's the meaning of the word to prophesy. The second scripture I want us to read before I begin to expound it further is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Now, because of time, we won't read everything, but you will see there, of course, this is a very famous portion of the scriptures about the vision of the valley of dry bones that Ezekiel saw. If you read through it, you will see that in verse 1, he said that in that valley that he visited, the bones were scattered all over the place and the bones were very dry. He said in verse 2. And then God asked him a simple question, and I want to ask you that question also today. As I go on, God said to him, son of man, can these bones live? And he answered, Lord, I don't know. That's what he was saying in effect. That is, God, only you can tell. What was God saying by that? He said, son of man, look at the situation. What do you think will come out of this situation? I want to explain something to you here. This was a human being looking at issues. The bones were dry. They were in the middle of a dry valley. And you are asking him whether the bones can live. And the guy gave an honest answer. He said, God, I have no idea. You are the only one that knows. And God now told him, this is the solution to that confusion. In verse 4, he said, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What I want you to notice here is this. Prophesy over these bones. It was not predicting the future. It was directing the future. Here was a situation in which things were bad. The bones were dry. The people were in abject confusion of hearts. They were in abject state, because it was a type of the suffering that people were going through. They were in abject poverty. They were in captivity to all kinds of problems in life. And God said, if we looked at their situation, we would think that nothing good can come out. Are you getting my point? Therefore, we begin to speak as if we're telling ourselves the truth, that look at it, things are bad. But God said, do you want results? He said, don't speak according to that which you have seen. He said, prophesy over the situation and say to it, O ye bones, hear the word of the Lord. In verse 5, he says, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews upon you and make flesh grow, and all that, and all that. In verse 7, he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to his bones. Now, let me just explain something here. That is, the principle here is this. We often in life make deductions based upon what we have seen. But God said, no. If you want to see things change, you will tell them to change. Do you get the point I am making? I said there are four basic ingredients that you need to bring forth grace that will produce success into your life. We said number one, prayer, and then number two, prophecy. There is a reason why I want to link the two of them now, prayer and prophecy. Now, you will see that Ezekiel kept on saying, I prophesied as commanded, because the Bible says that who is he that says a thing and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? That is, the great force on earth that causes things to move in a direction is the power of God. And if you are going to engineer things by the power of prophecy, it must be in agreement with the will of God. I don't mean that you have to go and pray for 24 hours for God to reveal to you his will. No, I mean all you do first is to commit your life unto that Lord and begin to commit everything you want to do into his hands. Then when he brings ideas into your heart, are you getting my point? People will say to you that, listen, my friend, you don't seem to realize how bad the economy is. You don't realize the current price of petrol. You don't understand how scarce resources can be. Now, they are telling you that bones are dry. But God said, you will never get results like that. Having committed your ways into my hands, then you will speak words. Do you get my point? That is what it means to prophesy. There's a little book I have titled Prophesy. Now, that book, if you can lay your hands on it, I would like for you to read it. But if you can't get a hard copy, log on to our website. You'll be able to get a copy from our website there. Download it and you can read. Now, inside that book, I explain this thing extensively. That is the power of your words. Let me say this to you again. God did not give you your tongue to use to comment on the situations of life. God gave you that tongue to use to direct the situations of life. What many of us do actually is to prophesy as we have not been commanded. That is, we predict a future out of the dryness of the current situations. And then we don't understand that those are the reasons why the situation will not change. Let me give an example. A young man leaves school and begins to say, you know, there are no jobs in the country. You wake up every morning, so, but you're not working yet. He said, no. He said, why? He said, because there are no jobs in the country. He said, but you don't have money for anything to take care of yourself. He said, no. Why? Because there are no jobs in the country. And my uncle has refused to help me. I know I am suffering right now because nobody is helping. The man wakes up in the morning. He said, why are you not working? I have sent 10 applications. This country is bad. In fact, what I am doing right now is to try and get everything I can to get myself out of the country. Why? Because there is no job in this country. Things are bad. Are you getting my point? Then after 5 years, he's still in that situation. He's not working. He's not producing anything. And he has not even gotten a visa to go anywhere. And you say, why are things like this? He will tell you, you will remember I told you that time we're leaving school that there are no jobs in the country. Can't you see what I have said has come to pass? Now, what he doesn't understand is that the things did not come to pass despite what he said, but that they came to pass because of what he said. Are you getting my point? That is, the fact that these things are just like he said is not a proof that he was right. It's a proof that his tongue is powerful and he has brought forth failure upon himself by his tongue. Do you get what I'm saying? We're talking about powering your life by grace. One thing you must use first is your tongue. It appears to me from the study of the Word of God that that is the only one that is really within your control. Do you get the point I'm making? You have prayed to God. You have asked God. Are you following me? But what God now says, after you have asked, don't cooperate with Satan. Now, let me say this again. The Bible says that you must not use your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Listen to me. Negative talk is unrighteousness. Bad prophecies is unrighteousness. Saying things that you think are true, but they are not in agreement with the purpose and plan of God for your life and your generation is unrighteousness. Therefore, if you yield your tongue to say such things, you have become a friend of Satan. I like the thing that Oswald Chambers said about Satan. He says Satan is an agreement between devil and a friend. You get my point? That is, when a human being has agreed with the devil and they begin to speak forth words towards you that are against the counsel of God, that is what is called Satan. Therefore, Satan said to Jesus Christ, you will not die for these people. And he was speaking through Peter. Are you getting the point I'm making? What I mean is this, we have become an ally of Satan. When you have joined everybody else to speak against God. Now, this thing, I say it again and again because it is so true and I like to warn Christians about it. God says, anybody that talks against me has ganged up against me. What I'm referring to, you will find in the book of Numbers chapter 14, verse 35. God said, these people gathered together against me. What was it that happened? They went to the promised land to spy. 10 spies said, we saw giants. The other two spies said, we also saw the giants. The 2 spies said, we saw good land. The 10 spies said, we also saw the good land. But the issue is that what was our conclusion? Listen, this is what faith is. For us to know that there is a realm, a force, a power beyond the one that we can see. And when that power is working on our behalf, we are experiencing the grace of God to bring us into the land of promise. The 10 spies rejected that. 2 spies accepted that, and therefore they drew a conclusion that we are able to go in. The other 10 spies, with the whole of the rest of the congregation of Israel almost, said, we can't go in. And God said, they have gathered together against me. Do you know the common word we use for that? conspiracy. Speaking negatively in life, God sees it as conspiracy. That is why I never, listen, there are things I don't do. People sometimes make it appear when we are discussing as if I am blind. I am not blind. Actually, I see more than they see. So don't you realize that right now, there's no fuel in the country. That's why we are buying fuel at 120 naira a liter. And some places, they are buying at 150 naira a liter. Does that not show you that nothing good will come out of this nation? I say, listen to me. I also buy that fuel at that high price. I know there is a problem. But it does not in any way decide that something good will not come out. There is no nation that has not suffered hardship. Listen, there was a time until recently, fuel prices in America and Europe doubled also. Now, listen to me. The people who are arguing this with me, they are still trying to run to the places where their own fuel prices are also doubling. What does that tell you? The doubling of fuel price is not at all an indication of what my tomorrow will be. Therefore, I will never agree with any Satan that good will not come out of my nation, good will not come out of my life because of the current adversity that I'm seeing. Listen. If Nigeria wanted to suffer hardship and have no future, it is too late. One of the reasons being that God said, you are the salt of the earth. And he was speaking directly to people like me. The fact that I am planted in Nigeria is a proof to those of you who want to know that goodness and mercy is coming. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Now, look, listen, that is the power of prophecy. Anything I want to do in life, I prophesy over it. Before I began to preach, I prophesied over the effect of my ministry. It doesn't matter that nobody knew who I was. It is irrelevant. I said, these words of God that I speak, when it goes forth, it will set the hearts of men on fire, even when nobody was listening to it. Do you get the point I'm trying to make here? Prophecies don't describe what is currently. They describe what is supposed to be tomorrow. Listen to me. A lot of people are struggling in life against words that they have spoken against themselves. Are you getting my point? Since they were young, they have prophesied. I heard a man talking once. He told me that he doesn't want to live beyond the age of 65. Why? Because by the time you are 65, you start falling sick, you start doing it, and I looked at this man, you are very, very foolish. I know men who are 90 and they are not falling sick. Now, when he was talking to me, he was in his 30s. But I knew that if this guy continues like this, he is most certainly going to start falling sick around the time he's 60, so that he might die by the time he's 65. And then he will say, did I not say it? That by the time you are getting to this age, you start falling sick. What he would not realize is that it was not that he was right, but that the words that he spoke have now commanded sickness as his portion, and early death at that particular age. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. But what do I do? I say, look, this is a commandment. Ezekiel said, I prophesied as commanded. This is how to prophesy as commanded. You first look into the word of God. God said, mark the righteous man, he will be fruitful in his old age. He said, he will be old and full of sap. He said, in the kingdom of God, the man that dies at the age of 100 will be said that he died as a youth. Listen to me. The day Jacob, the father of Joseph, appeared before Pharaoh, Pharaoh looked at him and said, sir, how old are you? Pharaoh was amazed that people could live to that old age. Because at that point in time, this man was far over the age of 100. And Jacob looked at him and said, listen, I have not yet even lived as old as my fathers lived. Are you getting my point? I saw all those things. Therefore, I prophesied that when I am 60, there's one guiding principle. He satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed as the eagles. So at that age, I will be strong. I will be like Bashali. You know Bashali, our Nigerian boxer, that's trying to beat up as many young men as he can find. Are you getting my point? By the time I'm 80, I will still be agile, walking around, full of strength, and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the time I'm 100, I will still be strong. Nobody will look at me and say, this man, he must really be old. Every time they hear my age, they will say, and you look so young. And I said, that is a confirmation of prophecies released when I was 20, of prophecies released when I was in my 30s, and prophecies released when I was in my 40s. Those things are being sent forward. We described this thing some time ago. I said that my people have a saying that if you want to step on cool ground, you throw water forward. Are you getting my point? Listen, your words oil the engine of your life for you. If you say things are hard, they will become hard. There are spiritual things that control life, and one of the most important inputs you can put into that spiritual realm are the words that come forth from your mouth. What do I declare every morning? That goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Are you getting my point? Now, those are the things that plant favor for you in places. Now, there's something I want to leave with us before I go today, and this is this issue of the role of Satan in the lives of people. Listen to me. What Satan wants to do is to incite you against God. Let me keep on saying this. Satan, when I say Satan, I mean when you watch news, the devil stirs up things to kill your heart. There is what is called the sword of the spirit. Now, when you use the word the sword of the spirit, in that context that the Bible uses it in the book of Ephesians, it was referring to the word of God. But the sword of the spirit is actually, it actually has a bigger scope than that. When it said the sword of the spirit, what it means is that there are swords that are used in the realm of the spirit, and those things are words. Are you getting my point? That is, the sword of the spirit is your word. Listen, you have watched movies, you have read stories, you probably have seen people talk about these issues, that people in the occult, they do what they call incantations. When they are doing incantations, what is it that they are doing? They are using words to stir up forces against their opponent. They are using words to stir up the elements of life to work contrary to that person. Are you getting my point? Those are the things of the spirit. These are the swords of the spirit. And God was telling us in the book of Ephesians, there, chapter 6, he said that you also have your own sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. That when people rise against you with words, listen, when I say people rise against you, they don't have to be your enemies. A lot of times, Satan is your friend. Peter was a friend of Jesus Christ. The person who instigated Job against God was his wife. Are you getting my point? I don't mean your enemies. Satan is anybody who speaks against the word of God in your life, who speaks against God's plan and counsel for you. Anybody who agrees with the news network that bad things are only to be found in Nigeria, they are killing people in Port Harcourt, the fuel crisis is all over the place. Anybody who says because of that, nothing good will come out of that nation is an agent of Satan. Are you getting my point? He doesn't have to rise up at night and be talking against you. But whether he rose up at night or not, whether he has you personally in mind or he does not, you have a responsibility to attack back with the sword of the spirit, which in your case is the word of God. If they say there is a casting down, you will open your mouth and say, God is with me, there is a lifting up. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? That is, you will use your words. They are weapons of the spirit. One thing I know for sure is that when God wants to work on your behalf, he needs those words that you have spoken. When he's going to pour forth grace upon you, he needs those things that he has spoken. The other day I was studying the book of Genesis. I noticed that the Bible said that first there is evening before there is morning in any of God's days of creation. Therefore, I realized something, that in anything I want to do in life, first thing there is evening. What do I mean by evening? You are starting a giant business. You are starting something great, a ministry, something that you want to do for God on this earth. And in the beginning, it will be evening. You won't have much businesses to do. You won't have much preaching engagement. You won't have much work to do for God in these things that you want to do in life. It is not because God cannot effect those things overnight. He said that is not the correct order. There must be evening. So because you don't have much to do, God gives you the opportunity to lie down and build your vision. To use your times of idleness to create dreams, to sit down and observe how other people who have come before you failed, but how you will not fail when you get there. So when you see maybe a great company is having crisis because of its staff, you will begin to prophesy that I have wisdom that handles the crisis of staff. I have the wisdom of God that makes my staff satisfied. I have the wisdom of God that helps me to do what is right for my staff. Are you getting the point I'm making here? That those are the things you keep on doing in the time of evening, because when morning comes, you will be so overwhelmed with events happening. It is those words you spoke when you were idle that will be carrying you. You follow what I'm saying? Listen, if you are going to start a business tomorrow, if you are going to start a career tomorrow, if you are stepping into politics today, it is now you begin to use words to all your future.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.